The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a Friday, November 20th, 2015. I'm Doug Hagman. We are coming to you, well, with my son Joe Hagman. I suppose I should add that. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank Global Star for all they do for us, getting our signal out there to the, just a vast area all across North America. And we're heard worldwide as well, as we're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as YouTube Live. If you're listening or watching on YouTube Live, hello, we can see right through you. We can see you. No, I'm just kidding, of course. You can see us. We dig into topics that the captured Illuminati-controlled mass media don't, and tonight is no exception. We've got such a great show planned for you tonight, Dr. Ted Brower. Not just a doctor, but a very insightful man. And in fact, if you go to healthmasters.com, I would urge everyone to sign up for his free newsletter. That is just information-packed. And, you know, he's got a great line of products in terms of the nutritional supplements and other products as well. But one thing that Dr. Ted Brower has, he's got a lot of information. He's got a lot of great experience. He's got a lot of great research topics, and I don't want to take any more of his time than I just already have. But I just would urge everyone to listen to tonight's show, because tonight's show will be, and I do believe this to be the case, will be the most important show that we've ever done in terms of its depth and such. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic show. Hey, on your computer, can you try to connect to the...
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, go ahead.
Why don't you take it here? Let me do this over here.
We have with us Dr. Ted Brower. Healthmasters.com is his website. His book, Breakthrough Health, is a fantastic read, explaining the do's and don'ts of what we put in our body and how we should live our lives, and the way to live, have a life of longevity and health. That's Breakthrough Health by Dr. Ted Brower. He's coming on tonight to not only talk about Morgellons disease, but a bunch of other interesting things. And we were talking just before the show, and he piqued my interest when he said, I have some stuff I want to talk about pertaining to blood that will shock or surprise you. With that, we're going to bring on Dr. Ted Brower, has his own show here on Global Star Radio Network. Ted, it's great to have you back on.
Joe, Doug, it's my pleasure as always. And, you know, when I was a kid, we owned a fish camp. And when we had this fish camp, we had these old cottages that had been built, you know, back in the early 1900s, when there was hardly anyone living in Central Florida on one of the cleanest lakes in the state. It was actually called Lake Sanitary until they later changed its name. It was all spring-fed. I mean, it was a beautiful place to be raised as a child, except for the water moccasins. And what was interesting about this, I remember when I was a kid, these cottages had these old locks on all the doors, and they'd all been painted shut. And I told my mom one time when I was like 8 years old, I said, I want to tear one of these doors apart so if I can fix this lock, because what she was doing, she was just having padlocks put on the front of the door, and there was this basically a skeletal key assembly there that could come apart. So I went out there one time when I was like 8 years old with a hammer and a chisel and a screwdriver, and I completely disassembled these locks. And I looked at them and I analyzed them. Remember, I'm 8 years old, and she's already fussing at it because she thinks I'm breaking everything. I finally re-oiled them, put them back together, and cleaned them, and they all work perfectly. I even found the right keys to make them work. And that's kind of been my life's goal, I guess. I like to break things apart, figure out how they work, and then try to re-put them back together again and make a coherence out of them. And I was going to talk tonight about Morgellons, which I am going to do in detail. But the problem is, when I start getting into Morgellons, I start getting into plasma physics with chemtrails. And then I start getting into plasma physics, I was really, you know, kind of awestruck by what they've done with what's called scalar waves and some of the energy technologies they've suppressed. And we're going to give you the quotes of these people and the ones who've discovered all of this stuff in just a few moments after we talk about another topic. But another topic that has been really interesting, because it's been a lock that I've been trying to get together and pull apart for the past almost 10 years, is the blood of Christ. And I'm not trying to explain away a miracle of what Christ's blood has done for us, as far as how it's cleansed us, about the book of Hebrews and how it talks about it. But what happened is, I want to try to figure out why it was necessary for Jesus to spill blood and to have the blood poured out of his veins like he did. Because, you know, they could have killed him a variety of different ways. They could have strangled him. They could have starved him to death. They could have dehydrated him. They could have done all kinds of different things to have killed him, and he still would have died for us. But I want to know what in the world happened with the blood, and what was the plasma physics behind the blood of Christ. And I've been digging into this stuff for years, and I haven't gotten anywhere. Finally, for some reason, on Wednesday morning, we're having a prayer time with Savannah and me and Sharon. Alexis is in Montana, Savannah was already in school, and of course Austin's, you know, running the office. And all of a sudden I had like a 13 dimension download come into my brain as far as the blood of Christ. Now, some of you guys are going to think, well, what in the world is he going to talk about that for? I want to hear about more Jellins. Oh, it's going to all tie together before we're done with this tonight. And I actually yelled out in the middle of my prayer. I was praying and I said, oh my gosh, I've got it. I figured it out. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it. Because I didn't figure out anything. He just downloaded the information to me, but I finally saw how this lock is put together. And I said, this is great. So we finished praying. I ran out to my office and I wrote page after page of this. And I called up Doug immediately and I said, Doug, you got to hear this. And I read what I'd written to Doug. And he said, well, kind of read that again, because it's kind of complicated the first time you hear it. And so I read it several times. So I'm not going to read it a bunch tonight, because there's no point, because you guys can listen to the show over and over again. It'll take up too much time. But I've got some really interesting stuff that I feel the Holy Spirit showed me. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, thus saith the Ted or thus saith God. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm just saying I think I figured out how this stuff works. Also, I'm going to be quoting a lot of different sources tonight. I'm not saying that I've done any of these research experiments myself. I'm not saying that, you know, I've double-blind verified the studies that I'm going to be talking about tonight. There's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about tonight. So I want you guys to grab a piece of paper and pencil, because you're going to want to take some notes on this like I have. I literally have 40 pages of notes tonight that are handwritten in my journal for this show. So if I get a little slow every once in a while, because I'm trying to read my own handwriting, which sometimes is easier than others.
Well, that's fine. We'll be able to catch up then.
But one thing that's interesting about this, let me tell you real quick about a scalar wave and what that is. I'm going to do this to start with, because it's going to make it kind of easy to make you understand what I'm fixing to talk about. You know, if you ever take a water hose outside and you basically get a kink in it and you pick up one end of the hose and you shake it real high, it sends a wave down the water hose. I mean, that's kind of like electromagnetics and how it works. Now, what's interesting is if you have another wave that you shake at the same time, but it's the opposite amplitude. In other words, the peaks and the valleys are opposite. Okay, that's kind of how the Bose headset technology works as far as noise cancellation. Now, when you look right down the middle of where these waves are going, this is creating what's called the longitudinal wave. Now, what's interesting about all of this is when you overlay two longitudinal waves, you create what's called a scalar wave or a scalar frequency. Now, scalar frequencies are interesting because that's how our cellular DNA communicates with itself. In other words, one cell will talk to another cell through scalar waves. Now, one of the things that scalar waves have is that they have, when they transmit information, distance is irrelevant. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Distance is irrelevant. In other words, it's basically the power of thought. When we think, our mind creates scalar waves. So when we think something, the other part of the galaxy, 100 million light years away, would get that thought instantaneously. There's no function of distance on that. It's instantaneous transmission through the scalar field. It's kind of like going into a different dimension. This is fourth dimensional physics we're talking about. And we're going to go into detail more about this in a few minutes. I'm going to repeat this one more time when we start talking about it, but I want to talk about this with the blood. Because I started realizing there's a whole lot more stuff to blood dynamics. In other words, if you're basically taking a transfusion from another person and the blood is from that person, the person's alive, blood's whole, dust great. The instant that person dies, their blood is dead. You can't transfuse that blood again. We've talked about this on the show, because the blood's basically poisonous. It's dead. It doesn't work. So the living essence, the soul of that human being, when it departs the body, any blood that's even still fresh in the body is dead. It doesn't work anymore. Now, there's a physicist called Harold Kautz, and he basically did some works and some research on this, and he said it's like this. He said, now, you guys stay with me, because this is going to get your attention really, really fast. He said if you take a person's blood, let's just say you take a pint of blood from someone and you pull it out and you basically keep it fresh and keep it oxygenated so it stays alive, and you put it on a next day air flight to Australia, or you basically ship it to Australia automatically, and it's still alive and it's being maintained properly. He now is on the other side of the planet. Now stay with me on this one. This is going to mess with your head a little bit. And so now you have this fresh blood out of your body on the other side of the planet. He said if you turn on a TV set, and because this communicates via scalar waves, he said you turn on a TV set and you watch a horror movie, and all of a sudden your blood starts releasing different hormones and chemicals, your blood on the other side of the planet will release the same chemicals that your blood does in the United States at the same time.
Say that again.
Yeah.
I knew you weren't going to get that. This is where this thing's going to start tonight. This is about where, now I started digging into this blood fit, this plasma physiology, this blood, whole blood physiology. It blows your brain. They communicate via scalar waves, which have no distance coordinates in them. In other words, it's instantaneous. It doesn't matter where in the galaxy it is. If you take your blood out, keep it fresh, send it to Australia, and you watch a horror movie in the United States, and your body starts secreting hormones through your blood, and your blood starts secreting hormones and chemicals, your blood in Australia is going to secrete the same chemicals. It's going to connect with each other.
That's amazing.
Yeah, now this is the show we're going to do tonight, okay? So now you guys are all flipping out, okay? But we're gonna read you some stuff right now, because when I started doing the research on this, remember what I told you guys, this is 3 months worth of research on the show tonight. I remember 2 months I told you we're going to talk about it, and then the last month I'm going to talk about it, and last week we're going to talk about it, because this is so technical and so complicated that I'm going to go over the scalar frequencies one more time with you and how they develop that. What happens, you shake the water hose, you create a wave, you shake another water hose underneath it, and the amplitudes are opposite. That's how Bose headsets work, their noise cancellation technology. The middle line is a longitudinal wave. Our bodies basically cancels its own waves out, which creates scalar waves in our body. And our DNA emits light photons. And our DNA actually communicates with the other DNA via scalar waves with no distance restraint. I'm going to say it again. So that way, if your blood on the other side of the world, you're watching a horror movie here, you sent your fresh blood to Australia, it'll go right through the planet instantaneously and start secreting the same hormones that your blood does here while it's still in your body.
Well, Ted, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating. And mind-boggling, hard to wrap your mind around that thought. Say you shipped your blood to the other part of the other side of the world, and say somebody injected something into your blood, whether it was testosterone or even poison. Would the same theory apply?
I don't think so, Joe, because you'd be adding an exogenous toxin into the blood.
So it's naturally occurring.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Let me go ahead. If it's this is what I'm talking about, naturally occurring hormones and chemicals secreted by the blood. Now I'm going to read you something real quick because this made a whole lot more sense to me. Remember in the Bible in Genesis, and we'll do a little bit of Bible stuff on the blood real quick. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" This is in Genesis chapter 4. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." He was warning Cain because he knew what Cain was going to do. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were there, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then it says in verse 10, it says, "The Lord says, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now you understand what he meant by that, because the light photons were being emitted from that blood and crying out throughout the universe. The word in Hebrews is TSAAG. It means to cry out, or the sound of thunder, or a thunderbolt, which passes through all the dimensions because they're scalar waves. So no, that's why he said that. I've never understood this verse until I started doing this research on scalar waves. The blood cried out. Verse 17, it says, Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant, and she gave birth to Enoch. And of course, he wrote the book of Enoch, and he was taken up into heaven. He goes on to say in Genesis chapter 5, "Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him away." Now, we jump to Genesis chapter 6. This is where the flood occurred, when the DNA of human beings had become so contaminated with fallen angel DNA that it was awful. The whole planet had gotten corrupted. It took thousands of years to happen, but it happened. Then he goes on, verse 5, he goes, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures along the ground and the birds of the air. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God because he still had pure DNA. His seed was clean. Noah was a righteous man. If you go back into the in the original Hebrew, it says basically he was clean. He was, his DNA, his seed was clean. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons. Now, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence, and God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And what they had done, they had learned the old ways from the fallen angels that had come down, and they had started doing all of these horrible practices, including interbreeding with animals and genetic manipulation. But one thing I wanted to point out here, he goes, after the flood, he goes, he said that when, he said they were, this happened after the flood, and they were, the thing was, I'm jumping around. And it said that afterwards they were also still there in the thing. So what happens is, even after the flood, this stuff was still going on as far as this continual DNA corruption. And that's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with return upon my return. Now, I'm going to read you Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. You got to stay with me on this because I'm fixing to explain something to you in a second that's going to be as mind-boggling as the blood in Australia, okay? Right. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. I'm going to repeat that. Through the universe, And through him, he made the universe. The Son is the radiant of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification to sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. This would be in the 13th dimension that we've talked about, the eternal now, where Jerusalem is. Now, what's interesting about this is the kingdom of the heavenly Jerusalem. And what's interesting about this is, I'm going to repeat this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, he's God's clone. Now, I don't want to step on too many toes here, particularly if there's Catholics running around, because this is not what they believe. There was no way that Mary gave an egg and God used sperm to create Jesus Christ as an embryo and placed in her. That did not happen. Okay, God's embryo that he put inside of Mary was the exact representation of God Almighty. Hebrews says that right here. It wasn't 50% the DNA of Mary. Did not happen. Could not have happened. He goes on to say, I'm just going to scan through a couple of verses in Hebrews. Now, everybody stay with me. Chapter 2, you crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in the humanity so that by death he might destroy him who holds the power of life and death, that is the devil. Now, he's saying that he holds the power of life and death, the devil, right now. And the reason that happens is because we are in the lower dimensions and Lucifer controls these. We've talked about these before, and I'm giving you scriptural backup of this. But remember, the 13th dimension still controls everything. And then on verse chapter 4, he goes, and yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. How can Jesus' work be finished since the creation of the world? I'm explaining that right now. God's omnipresent. His beginning of the world and the beginning end of the world is all the same to him. He doesn't wear a wristwatch. That's not what he does. See, in the timeline of the eternal now, everything's always there at the same exact time. In other words, Jesus' sacrifice remains permanent for us because he's in the 13th dimension forever and all eternity, because it doesn't change timelines. It's always there. That's why God, if you work and read in chapter 4, verse 7, he goes, therefore God said again a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as he said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He had to put a break in the timeline from the omnipresent God for us to respond and to get saved through us through freedom of will. He goes on to say in chapters 5, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then he goes on to say in verse 7 of chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. But because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Now listen to this. This is amazing. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, and pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Remember, the heavens are dimensions 6 through 12. God's in the 13th dimension of the eternal now. This is above the heavens. He's exalted into the 13th dimension to have dominion over all the rest of the heavens, all below there, in Satan's kingdom. He's exalted above all of it. It says it right here. He's exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed their sins once and for all when he offered himself, and then he shed his blood. In chapter 8 it says, the point of what we were saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by men. It goes on, chapter 9. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and only after once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. When Christ came in as a high priest of the good things that were already here, he went through the greater and more permanent, perfect tabernacle. That is not man-made. That is to say, not part of this creation. It can't be. It's in the 13th dimension. That's where he entered into in the fourth. He's transdimensional. He did not enter by means of the blood of calves and goats, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having attained eternal redemption. Then it goes on in verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse us? Verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Verse 25. Nor did he have to enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way a priest does and enters the most holy place every year when the blood is not his own. Doesn't have to do that because he did it to the 13th dimension, transdimensionally. But now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Chapter 10, verse 10. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. 19. These brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Chapter 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made of not what was not visible. Chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now we're going to jump ahead.
Real quick, we have a few emails from listeners who pointed out that in the you stated that Enoch came from the line of Cain, but there were two Enochs, and the Enoch you're referring to, who was taken up by God, was from the line of Seth. I just wanted to state that.
All right. And so in 13:12 it says, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Now, verse 20 says, this is when we're in chapter 13, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, should equip you with everything good for doing his will. Now, it goes back to chapter 12, and he goes, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. This is going to be in the 13th dimension, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to this church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, when Cain killed Abel. I'm going to finish back that. That word speaks means yabab, to cry out. So in other words, this word that's being spoken by Jesus' blood in the Greek is better and more powerful than the blood that was spilled by Abel. Now, I've said all of that, and I gave you the background because I wanted to show you how much it talks about the blood. Because a lot of people who are listening tonight are Bible scholars. That's why I'm not trying to do some huge thing in the book of Hebrews or Genesis. I'm not trying to go into book by chapter by chapter by chapter. That's not the intent of this show. I'm just trying to tell you what I saw in my spirit the other day when I was praying about the blood of Christ. And now we know that the DNA basically is a transmitter. It communicates across the planet, across the world, across the universe, as far as when it releases light photons and it creates scalar waves. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not trying to explain away miracles, for this is indeed an incredible miracle, what God has done and how he's done all of this, and how when we accept him, we're completely changed. So now let's talk about the blood of Jesus and why it was necessary to shed the blood. God and Jesus are basically clones, as Adam was a clone. I've already read you that, the exact representation the book of Hebrews says. Or he was created in God's image, an exact copy or duplicate. That's why the evil one, Lucifer, was absolutely bent on contaminating Adam's DNA. That's why I read you the information from the flood in Genesis chapter 6, and did so until the flood of Noah, and again afterward, the word says, Jesus was the second Adam. This is why his blood is so important, because it's literally God's blood. Jesus' blood, through plasma physics, carries the very frequency of the creator of the universe, God Almighty. This is simple cellular biology. God is omnipresent. He doesn't wear a wristwatch. No time exists with God. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. When his blood, the blood of Jesus, was spilled on the cross, now everybody listen to this very carefully what I'm fixing to say. His blood, God's blood himself, coming out of the 13th dimension, it's cellular communication through light photons, through scalar waves, through the double helix Tesla step-up coil, which is our DNA in today's vernacular, broadcast his perfect cellular DNA throughout time-space continually for all eternity to restore us our DNA that was damaged through the fall. This is why the book of Hebrews says that the spilling of Jesus' blood covers us for all eternity, forever. His DNA transmitter from his spilled blood, from the God Almighty, from Jesus Christ, literally cries out through all of the dimensions of time-space, rewriting our DNA to bring us back to God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, our DNA is literally rewritten and restored by God Almighty himself. We become the righteousness of God through Christ. Through Christ's sacrifice and the spilling of his blood, this is why our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. This is why God no longer remembers them. We are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. This is how much God loves us, that when we accept Jesus through faith, he literally rewrites our DNA and we are restored to him in the 13th dimension we mentioned earlier through our pineal gland, through the Holy Spirit. The mark of the beast will most likely rewrite human DNA to that of the fallen one. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes with Morgellons. That's why we cannot take the mark of the beast. This is transhumanism. These fallen demonic creatures that are so angry that Jesus and God did this, because they cannot turn off the transmitter because of God's omnipresence. Remember, this war in the heavenlies has been going on for millennia. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he said it is finished, he meant it was finished. So now we're just waiting for prophecy to fulfill. Because what's happened is he turned on a transmitter in the 13th dimension of these demons and Satan and the fallen angels. They have no access to that transmitter. They can't shut it off. That's why they're so bent out of shape. Therefore, they're doing everything in their power to corrupt human DNA through chemtrails, Morgellons, fluoride, vaccine, cancer, Nagalase, drugs, GMO, anything to destroy God's children. Now they are attacking the immune system in full force. But if we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, our DNA that they try to continually damage is continually renewed. The DNA broadcast throughout all time space by the blood of Yeshua. The fallen ones cannot stop the blood of Christ, the DNA of Christ, from doing continual DNA repair for all eternity. Remember, almost all of the major denominations now are pulling the blood of Jesus Christ out of their hymnals. They're no longer talking about the blood. They've taken the cross off the wall. They no longer talk about the sacrifice because it's not politically correct any longer. The blood's being removed from almost all mainstream churches. This is why Lucifer is so angry at God in doing the thing he's doing, trying to destroy all of God's creation, because he runs about now as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, because he may not devour us, because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we're saved from a technical standpoint. That's what goes on as far as in the 13th and 14th dimensions. And when God showed me, it blew my mind. So there you go. So if you're probably have to listen to that recording repeatedly to hear what I just said again. But it's amazing that in physics behind what happened in the 13th dimension and what happens now with this DNA transmitter. Because our DNA is literally a double helix transmitter coil, like a Tesla coil, that transmits this DNA and connects us to God Almighty in the 13th dimension through light photons, and he continually restores us and renews us, and that's why we are the righteousness of Christ.
It's fantastic. You know, folks, when Ted called me on Wednesday, I sat and listened to it, and what you heard, I had to hear it a couple of times, and after we spoke, I wrote some of my own notes, and I just want to urge everyone to understand that we must incorporate, I believe this, we must incorporate a Hebraic understanding into the hermeneutical process. And I hope everyone understands what I just said, because with what Ted is talking about here, you've got to infuse a Hebraic understanding. You've got to understand the Hebraic idioms, the exegesis versus eisegesis. Okay, the biblical scriptures, all of this. There's a level of understanding, and we've talked about this before. There's really four levels of study of scripture, and that are recognized. And of course, we're talking about the literal, and then the which is the pashat, the implied, which is the remez, the allegorical, the drash, and the sod, which is a deep and hidden meaning. But the bottom line is this: listen to what he just said, and go back and listen to it. Ted, this is blowing my mind, man.
Well, no, I mean, because what I've done, I basically had the download come in on Wednesday, and what I did is I went back through the download, because I had written it all down so quickly, and I filled in little pieces in the corners, and that's why it was easier to understand when you heard it this time, because it was so intense when I was writing it down. I'm like, okay, I can't believe I'm getting this download. I've never heard this preached or taught anywhere, because no one has ever understood what scalar physics is and what light photons do and what happens as far as this transdimensional, you know, interchange of information that we have. I mean, we have to understand, it's like a four or five, it's a 13-dimensional chessboard we're playing here at one time. This is a whole different set of frequencies that we're dealing with here. But right now, I feel really led by the Holy Spirit. I really do, and I've thought about this all day. I want to lead everybody who's not saved in the sinner's prayer right now, because I want you to have the power of the blood. I want you to have the power of forgiveness in your life. And if you guys, if you're not saved, if you're listening to me tonight, I've had so many people contact us and tell us they've been saved by listening to these broadcasts with Hug and with Pastor Langford. I just want you to repeat this after me. Father, I know that I've broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. I'm truly sorry and I repent, and I want to turn away from my past life and I want to turn towards you. Please forgive me and help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins and his blood was shed, and he was resurrected from the dead, that he's alive and he hears my prayers. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule, to reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me to obey you, to help me to change my life through your power and through your word. And I want to serve you the rest of my life, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the reason I did that is so many times, Doug, we have talked about these different dimensional frequencies, and I've had so many people have written me letters and say, you know, we've been listening to the Hagmans for years and years and years, and finally we get it. We get it. We have the authority of the believer. We have the authority of the blood of the Lamb, that now you understand. This literally rewrites your DNA, and you become the righteousness of Christ. It does it because what happens is the powerful DNA of Jesus, who was from God Almighty, it says it right in Hebrews, exact representation, continually broadcasts this healing information into your body so you'll be saved. Because remember, God said he cannot accept you if you're not pure. It doesn't work that way with him. But because of the blood of the Lamb, he remembers your sins and he sees them no more. We are the righteousness of God through Christ. That's how we're saved and born again. And this is so powerful. And God basically showed me this the other day when I was praying. And I thought, my gosh, that's how it works. I finally took the lock apart. And God finally showed me how to put it back together again. So I just wanted to share that. Joe, were you even with me, or are you kind of blown away by all this too?
Oh no, I'm blown away by this, and I'm there with you though. I understand.
Well, it's all about the blood, Ted. I mean, bottom line, it's all about the blood.
And that's why Lucifer has done everything he possibly can to take blood from the mainstream churches, because he understands what it does. Because remember, he's so angry that this blood transmitter, this double helix coil transmitter of God, is in the 13th dimension. He can't get to it. He can't shut it down. That's why when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it was done. It was over with. And see, Lucifer would have never, ever crucified the Son of Glory had he known what he was doing. He didn't have any idea, because this is such a mystery to him. He couldn't figure out what God was doing. Why would he send his exact representation? Why would he send his only son for Lucifer to kill? He thought he was going to win the war by doing this. But then when he yelled it was finished, I think Lucifer probably let out an anguish. He said, oh no, I've done something wrong. Because when he did that, for all time space, remember, in time space, where God is in the eternal now, this continual act of this sacrifice continues for all eternity. Now, Jesus himself is sitting on the right hand of God in the 13th dimension. But the power behind all that is going to be bleeding through forever and ever. Amen. And that's what's so neat about being a Christian and being saved, is that you're completely born again. That's what he means, being born again. You're being renewed. You're being restored, you know, back to what you're supposed to be as an Adam, as in one of God's creations. He loved you that much. He was willing to do that for you. And so he knew that, you know, the Old Testament wasn't going to work. You know, he basically figured that one out, I'm sure. And, you know, he knew that wasn't going to be that way, but he had to do this from the beginning of time. That's why it says that he knew this and he completed this from the beginning of time, because of his omnipresence. So that's how much the God, the creator of the universe, loves you if you're listening tonight. You know, this isn't some hyped up TV evangelist trying to tell you this kind of stuff. I'm kind of a biophysicist, chemist, nutrition kind of guy, right? I'm just telling you from the mechanical standpoint how this does and what it does to the best of my knowledge and my ability. Because remember, this photon light energy that our DNA releases, you know, the higher we go up, it's like this is what happened with Moses. When Moses came off the mountain after he'd received the 10 commandments for 40 days, when he came off the mountain, he was literally glowing from the light photon energy from the DNA being next to God. I mean, this DNA of God was rewriting Moses' DNA. He comes off the mountain, he's shining like a doggone light bulb, freaked out the Israelites. They had to put a veil over his face because they couldn't figure out what the heck just happened. Okay? Remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, I think it was Moses and Elijah showed up, and they all started glowing. And all the angels are glowing all the time. The reason for that is because of the photon light energy being emitted. See, this is what people need to understand. And how many times it happened when I got saved when I was 23 years old, when I was in graduate school at Florida State, I remember my appearance was literally transformed. Our photon energy has changed. And I remember I had such a hard look at my face, and I was all, you know, whatever all the time. And all of a sudden I looked like I was younger, and I was, you know, so you see this with pastors that are really under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're shining, like they're glowing. Now you don't see that much anymore because a lot of the guys really aren't, because they're kind of doing things the wrong way. But remember, in the universe, every proton knows what every other proton is doing at the exact same time. Again, there's no distance variable when it comes to scalar physics. It's instantaneous. So it doesn't matter if God is 100 light years away, because he's not, because he's omnipresent. But if he was, it wouldn't make a difference. It'd still be that fast as far as the DNA transmission. And that's what's so beautiful about what he's done for us. It really is.
Ted, you make the Bible come alive. You really do. And many of our guests do the same thing. But folks, I mean, isn't this fascinating to understand? Joe, I mean, understand the blood is so important, and the DNA, rewriting the DNA. And please, folks, this is so important. Understand what Ted. After Ted, you and I spoke for over an hour just on this point alone. Man, it's tremendous.
Well, no, because this is so important. Okay, here's the people I'm really talking to right now. If you're already saved, you're already saved. And I hope and pray you prayed the sinner prayer. But I'm talking to the agnostics, and I'm talking to the atheists, which I doubt they're listening to the show, but if they are, but the agnostics who have not really known, you know, about Jesus, or who don't really care about this, or people that have been hurt by other Christians, or people that have been hurt by denominations, or people that have been done wrong, and you kind of got a hard heart, and you don't want to hear the truth about the Word of God. Let me tell you something, friends. It doesn't matter what someone's done to you. Look what Jesus just did for you, what he's doing for you continually through the blood of the cross. Look what he's doing for you. You can't put your heart and your faith and your confidence in man. Man's going to always let you down. It doesn't work that way. You've got to put your confidence in the blood of Yeshua, the radiance of God himself, the being of God. I mean, this is what he's done for you. So I've had so many Christians have done me wrong. Pastors have done me wrong. Gosh, I told you I had a pastor run me out of his church 2.5 years ago because I did a seminar at the church talking about aspartame, and he nailed me from the pulpit. And I left. I said, I'm done with this. I mean, but I didn't allow that to affect my relationship with God, because it doesn't need to. And I heard Zig Ziglar say this one time. He said it so succinctly, because I love Zig. He was a good friend of mine. He always said this. He said, if you allow a hypocrite to stand between you and God, I'm going to repeat that. If you have a guy who's a hypocrite, you're standing on one side of him, the hypocrite standing in front of you, and God standing behind the hypocrite. So you're allowing a hypocrite to stand between you and God. Ziglar always said, that hypocrite's at least one step closer to God than you are. Now, that's a good line, isn't it? That's good.
Yeah.
So you've got to walk around that hypocrite. You've got to say, you know what? I don't see you anymore. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. My photon energy is being renewed. My DNA is being renewed continually by the blood of the Lamb. I am who I am because of Christ Jesus, and I don't have to listen to your nonsense or your ridiculous attitude about Christianity or about me or anybody else, because my faith is not in you, it's in Jesus Christ. And see, that's the thing you have to have. You've got to have faith in God Almighty. See, Muhammad isn't bleeding in the 13th dimension trying to save you. My gosh, when is the last time you've seen anybody but a Muslim walking around with a freshly severed human head? I mean, this is ridiculous. And the Hindus aren't doing it with all their weird stuff on reincarnation, and the Buddhists aren't doing it. I mean, this is a continual renewal. This is how we come close to God. This is the mystery. And that's what's so interesting about this. It was a mystery. And for the people who don't believe it, it's foolishness. But when you understand it and you're led by the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden all the lights pop on, you go, wow, Ted, that was really interesting. Think about what I just told you guys. We're continually renewed by a DNA transmitter, a double helix Tesla coil from God Almighty that renews our DNA from the 13th dimension. That's how the whole thing works as far as forgiveness and the power of God and our being restored to what God wants us to be. I mean, it's so beautiful that he did this. I mean, and the craziest thing about it is, guys, we don't deserve it. It's just grace. He just loved us that much. He just gave it to us. All you have to do is accept it, and you're done. It's so amazing what he'll do. And that's what happens. And we talked about this earlier. We talked about this on other shows. Let me digress for just a minute. When you look at the different dimensions, let me break this down again for you guys, because so many of you have not heard that first show that I did with you guys. This is like 100 pages back in my notes. The first dimension and second dimension and third space are where we live. That's basically the height, the depth, and the width of the universe that we're in, this holographic universe that we're in. The fourth dimension is time-space, and that's what this stuff ties into, is time-space as far as these scalar fields. The fifth one is the Higgs field, and of course the sixth dimension, the seventh dimension, 8th through 12th, is the second heaven that Paul talked about. The 13th dimension, this is where God is, and that's the eternal now. There's no space or time distance there. So when God transmits that frequency from that dimension, it goes all the way through all of the other dimensions. So here's what you got. You got Satan running around as a roaring lion seeking those who they may devour, and in the background, you got praise and worship music going on. He's got to be bent out of shape. That's why he does what he does. He can't turn off the music. No matter what he does, he can't shut it down. So he's got praise and worship music he's having to listen to, because remember who he was. He was the minister of music, according to many theologians in heaven. That's when he got cast down, because of pride. So he hears this music continually playing, and then when we accept God Almighty, I hope you did a few minutes ago when I prayed, you tie yourself back to the 13th dimension with God through your pineal glands of the blood of Christ. And now you have dominion over the other dimension. That's why it says that Satan's under our feet. And that's why it said that Jesus had authority over him. And because we accepted him through the blood covenant that we have, we are now in covenant with God in the 13th dimension, and he has no authority over us. That's why it says resist the devil and he will flee. He has no choice, because he knows who we are. Going to another one, if you believe in space-time and aliens and all the other stuff, or fallen angels or whatever you want to call them, I've read many times, and you can Google it yourself, when you call on the name of Jesus Christ and you've been in an alien abduction, they immediately put you back in your house according to the research that I've read. Now you think, wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, of course they do, because a lot of these guys are probably just fallen angels running around doing mischief, and so as soon as they hear the name of Jesus, they know better. They're about to get slapped upside the head by something they don't be slapped upside the head by. And that's why they've got to listen to you. They've got to flee. They can't do that to you. They're not allowed to, because you're covered by the blood of Yeshua. And they can't do that to you. They're not allowed to. So anyhow, I'm about to start preaching. I don't want to do that. We got too much.
No, that's very important. And you know, we have a lot of people who say, "Well, Jesus was not his name," of course, referring to the lack of the letter J. On and on and on. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. You know, the people there's a very dogmatic group of people who say it's Yeshua, or
it is. No, it is. They're right. It is Yeshua.
Right.
But, yeah, that's right.
However, wait a second.
Go ahead.
Okay. How many people today call on the name of Jesus as opposed to Yeshua, and the name Jesus does invoke that protection, or regardless?
John Kyle said that when expelling demons, that nobody's ever
expelled in the name of Yeshua. It's always Jesus.
Well, demons flee using either
one.
Either
well,
one.
Either one. I'll give you that. I just want to address those people who are so dogmatic in their beliefs that, oh my gosh, we must call Jesus by his Hebraic name or whatever, Yeshua. But I digress.
It is Yeshua, but let me tell you something. When you call on the name of Jesus or you call on the name of Yeshua, the demons know who you're talking about.
Amen.
Because they
Amen.
Know when they look at your light photons and you're connected to the Most High, they're like, you know, I got this. I know who this person is. I'm not allowed to mess with this dude. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be tempted and you're not going to try. I'm not going to say that, but a lot of what you're tempted with is your own flesh. That's the truth, because you've allowed yourself to get into habits and behavioral patterns and things you shouldn't be involved in, and you know it. And you can't allow yourself to do that. You've got to walk away from that. You got to flee, especially sexual immorality and sin like that. You've got to walk away from it. I remember when I was on the seminar circuit, and I've told you this, Doug, and I'll tell everybody on the staff, everybody listening to me tonight. I was there with President Bush and Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell and all that stuff, and they were paying us real well when we were doing this. I'd speak to groups as big as 40,000 people in stadiums. And if you don't believe that, you can go to bodybyted.com, and you can see me with a bunch of celebrities, and it's not Photoshop. It's off 35-millimeter film. And the reality is this. I've spoken over 1 million people at live seminars. I was one of the top platform speakers in the world back in the 90s by the grace of God and God alone. He gave me those abilities. And I'm not saying that I did anything in my own self, because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, that a little kid from Auburndale High School in Auburndale, Florida, from immigrant parents would actually be able to do that. But when I was on the road, you'd go to the tape table. Back then it was audio tapes, this is way before CDs. And you'd have all these groupies there and these beautiful women. They're like Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders running around out there trying to pick up one of the seminar speakers, because they knew that they were paying us well. And the craziest thing about all of this is I finally told Peter, the guy who was in charge of the seminars, I said, I'm not going to the tables anymore. And he goes, why? I said, I'm not going to deal with it. I said, almost every speaker on this circuit is having an affair on their wife. I'm not getting involved in this. I'm not going to be involved in any of this stuff. I don't do stuff like this. I'm born again. And I would go to the hotels after they picked me up at the airport. I would sit in my hotel room and study, and then they would come get me for the seminar. They'd bring me back to the hotel room. I'd order room service to the hotel door, to my room. I wouldn't even go in the restaurants and eat. He said, well, that's ridiculous, Ted. You're being ridiculous. Well, guess what? A whole bunch of those guys that were on the seminar circuit with me, they all got divorced now because of their stupid affairs they were having, and I'm still married to the same wife for almost 35 years. See, that's what we have to do. The Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Don't put yourself in a situation in which you can't control it, and you're going to fall, and you're going to sin. Just walk away from it. It's easier to deal with it in the beginning than to deal with the consequences of the sin, Doug and Joe. It really is. And I'm sorry I'm getting all preachy on you guys tonight, because I got a whole bunch of Newtonian physics we got to talk about still.
You just take us wherever. You're in the driver's seat tonight, Ted. And I just want to mention our guest tonight is Dr. Ted Brower. He's got a show on Global Star Radio Network every day.
3 to 4 p.m.
That's right.
Sundays, right before Dave Hodges.
That's correct. And, of course, healthmasters.com. Great friend of the program. I consider him a personal friend. He saved my life. But go ahead. Take us wherever you want. We got about 8 minutes or 7 minutes before the topic.
Okay, let's simplify physics a few more times. Let's go into chemtrails a little bit more, and this time let's go into Morgellons. I promised everybody that Morgellon stuff, and this is one of those things, like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, I mentioned this earlier, sometimes with wisdom and this stuff comes sorrow, because I tell you what, I knew Morgellons was bad. It's worse than I thought. It's one of those things, I kind of knew it was there, but I kind of didn't want to talk about it or think about it. And so I kind of ignored it, because what are you going to do? Because they're spraying this stuff on us with nanoparticles and, you know, with basically smart dust. And so we're going to go into all that in a few minutes. But let's talk about chemtrails for a second now, real quick. And let's look at it from several different angles. When heavy chemtrail spraying occurs, many times at dusk, and this is what you can show this to your friends who don't want to believe any of this stuff. You can look into the sky where the sun's setting, and you'll see all the stripes and all the lines, and most of the time you can't even see the sun set anymore on the horizon because there's so many chemtrails if they're spraying you heavily. But if you look on the opposite side and you see where the sun's already set, it's already dark, if you have enough clearance in your vision to see that, a lot of times there are more clear skies in those areas, and there's a reason that happens. This clear sky indicates that you have something in the air that is what's called photoionizing. And what this does, it creates a plasma, an energy plasma, or like a type of gas. And this is basically something, it's because of the crystalline structure of what they're spraying on us. And this is sensitive to the light of the sun. It's also sensitive to microwave radiation, or microwave energy, which is what they do with HARP. It produces a current through the plasma, which then produces vapor, which makes the clouds. That's how that works, as far as it gets all cloudy all of a sudden. during nighttime, there's a major decrease in these trails unless they're using the HARP to continue to keep the clouds going because of the photoionizing, what they're doing with the plasma. Also, you'll start seeing all kinds of strange colors and rainbows in sunsets. I have to admit, I see some of the most beautiful sunsets here in Florida I've ever seen in my entire life in the last 10 years because of chemtrails. Okay, I mean, the colors that they come up with. And the reason this happens is because the chemicals that are in the sky from the water and the chemicals and the ice and the stuff they're spraying in the sky acts as prisms, and it refracts the light, and we have these sometimes beautiful sunsets. And then, of course, if you do a chemical analysis of the rainwater, the soil, and the plants, you get massive residues of aluminum, barium, and strontium. And you can go to healthmasters.com, and you can actually pull up the rainwater analysis that I did that shows this. We have such high levels of aluminum and barium in my rainwater in two separate samples 6 months apart that they were not safe to drink because of the huge amounts of barium and aluminum in the air. Now, this is coming from somewhere. Now, the biggest problem with chemtrails, and this is why there's no point in wasting time on it to try to get all, there's no reason to go outside and start staring at them and screaming and yelling because you're not going to do anything, number one. Number two is you can't get a sample from them because they're 40,000 feet. So they've done this in a certain way that's ridiculous. I listened to a video the other day when supposedly a pilot, he did a thing on YouTube, and he basically sent an email in, and a guy basically read the email over this thing. And he said they've actually got explosive charges in the airplanes that if the pilots decide they want to try to land it somewhere where they shouldn't land it to expose all of this stuff, they can actually detonate these planes in the air. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it sounds like something the military would do.
Yeah, so blow them up?
Yeah, that's rather than let them be landed and have the information that is shown to the people what they're actually doing. But anyhow, so I don't know. I mean, because the reality is, I mean, there's a reason these guys are doing this. And he said a lot of them are like just soulless and they don't care because they don't care about humanity. And they want to get rid of all the useless eaters and they know what they're doing, some of the pilots. And some of the pilots are so upset about it, but they can't do anything about it. And he said they keep transferring them repeatedly all the time because they don't want to get to know the other pilots and their families very well. And a lot of this stuff is at islands off the coast. So they're isolated, so people can't come up to them. That's what he said in this email, but I can't vet it, so I have no idea if it's true or not. But anyway, let's go back to the geoengineering. Okay, of course we know the military papers and all the patents of cloud seeding and weather control. I mean, we've all seen those, and those are legitimate. Those are the ones that actually show patent numbers and what they've been doing. We know they've been doing this all the way back since World War II, heavily in the Vietnam War as far as the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they were flooding it with all of this different things they were putting in the atmosphere and causing massive rainstorms. The military, I've actually seen research and also booklets and reports of chemtrail classes. The military actually gave us this term chemtrails. Now they're saying when you say it, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I talked to Dane Whittington when I interviewed him on the Power Hour. He said it's best not even say chemtrails. He said it's best to say geoengineering because that way it takes you out of the quote-unquote Fruit Loops of the conspiracy theory people that are trying to discredit everybody. And by the way, the first time they ever used conspiracy theorists were basically the CIA came up with that term back in the 60s to discredit the people that were questioning what had happened with the Kennedy assassination and the official war, the official narrative of the Warren Report. So anybody who didn't believe that was basically a conspiracy nut. They wanted to make sure that they wanted to isolate you as quickly as they could. Now also, the chemtrails can be used as fuel additives, and they can be also direct nozzles into the engines, and they can also be from nozzles under the plane. A lot of this is done through ultrasound frequencies in which they break the particles down into the right sizes to go through the engines or to be dispersed through the airplanes. These nozzles then create nanocrystals, and again, that gives, they're like piezoelectric crystals, which pick up the sunlight and also pick up the what's going on with the microwave energy. Aircraft fuel, military-grade aircraft fuel, I've tried multiple times, and other people have tried multiple times to get that stuff analyzed, and apparently that's classified. Now, a lot of this stuff that they're spraying with smart dust and all that, I don't believe they're running that through any kind of aircraft engine because they don't want to destroy it by heating it up too much. The particulate plasma that is formed can be activated through microwaves, we mentioned that already, such as HARP. Because it contains, again, piezoelectric crystals. These have electrical optical properties, and the sun can also activate them, and that's why at night you have to use HARP if you want to activate them. And a lot of times what they're saying is that they're creating an invisible shield, well, it's not so much invisible anymore, over the United States, causing a problem if we have incoming missiles for the guidance systems to work. and the military basically giving the excuse that they're creating a impenetrable shield in the atmosphere that won't allow missiles to come in. Now, I've read that multiple times.
Radar chaff.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then they can heat up any portion of this at any time with HARP and with satellite technology up to 10,000 degrees. Because remember, it's particulate, so it's like throwing throwing metal in a microwave. It gets really hot.
Hold that thought, brother.
You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report with Ted Breuer here on Global Star Radio Network. Today's Friday, November 20th, 2015. We'll be right back with Ted in hour number two after the news. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.